verse 1 says this. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. As travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You all are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, also ye do. Jesus is coming. There was a preacher by the name of Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. He was a black preacher. He was born in 1913. And he was the oldest of eight children and son of a Baptist minister. He was a graduate of Bishop College in Marshall, Texas. He worked for 2 years as a high school English teacher in 1940 in Dallas. He felt led to preach. In 1942, he accepted his first pastorate at Fourth Ward Baptist Church in Enos, Texas. In August 1952, he was named pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego, where he served until retiring in 1993. That's 40-some years as pastor of one church. During Dr. Lockridge's tenure at Calvary Baptist, a predominantly African-American congregation, his ministry touched the lives of more than 100,000 people. I can't ever forget my first sermon. It was on Wednesday night. And usually not a whole lot of people came on Wednesday night. But in my mind, I envisioned thousands of people. And I preached in my vision. And flocks of people came to the Lord. In reality, there was about 7 or 8 people. Maybe more. I preached and it lasted 7 minutes. And I didn't know how to finish. So my pastor had to finish for me. The sermon that he is famous for, one of the sermons that is famous for, I want to attempt to preach today. Friday is here, but Sunday's coming. Friday is here, but Sunday is coming. What a difference a few days makes. Around here, it could be 75, 80 degrees one day, and the next hour it's 30 degrees, seems like. Things change, and they change in a hurry. In the case of Jesus, just a few days made a drastic difference. On Palm Sunday, the people of Israel welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem with shouts of, Hosanna! And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And if you're a part of the choir, you remember that song, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But only a few days later, many of the same people were shouting, Crucify him! Crucify him! Things looked bad on that Friday, real bad. On Friday, the disciples' faith was so weak, most of them were afraid to show their faces in public. On Friday, Pilate delivered Jesus over to the Roman soldiers, who took turns beating, whipping, and scourging him unmercifully. On Friday, they made him carry his own cross through the streets of Jerusalem, and the people who lined the sides of the road cursed and spat on him. On Friday, they stripped Jesus of all his clothing and dignity and nailed him to the cross like a common criminal. On Friday, the Roman soldiers made fun of him and put a sign over his head that said, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews," in mockery. On Friday, the sins of the world were weighing heavy on Jesus. On Friday, it appeared as if God had abandoned his only begotten Son. Jesus himself said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" On Friday, Jesus was not only crucified, but was humiliated in every way possible. On Friday, darkness covered the land, and the Prince of Darkness couldn't have been more pleased because he believed he had won a great victory by killing the Son of God. On Friday, they took Jesus off the cross and laid him in a borrowed tomb, and all the hopes and dreams of the disciples were buried with him. But that was Friday. When Sunday morning arrived, everything was different. Things changed. On Sunday, God demonstrated the fact that he had not abandoned Jesus on the cross by raising him from the dead. And he not only raised him spiritually, he raised him bodily. He was all there. He was all Jesus, all him. The nail print still in his hands and in his feet. It was Jesus who had risen. No man had done that. No man could do that. Only God can do that. And Jesus is the Son of God. On Sunday, Jesus walked out of the tomb with his head held high, knowing that he had finished the job that his heavenly Father had sent him to do. Paul wrote about this in the second chapter of Philippians when he said, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that every name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and in earth and under the earth, that endured the cross. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." On Sunday, Jesus' resurrection demonstrated that Satan had not defeated him. But instead, Jesus had won the victory over Satan, as well as sin, death, and the grave. Everything that Satan holds over our heads today, Jesus defeated. The victory's been won. He is the victor. This is what the Apostle Paul was thinking about in 1 Thessalonians 15 when he said, "When the perishable has been closed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, he gives us victory through Jesus our Lord." Victory! You like to win? How many here likes to lose? Do I see any hands? Nobody likes to lose. When you're playing a game and you're playing it, one that you love, and I look down here at some of our athletes, and you run to first base, and you grab your leg and you say, "Oh!" You're still wanting to win. I don't care how much the pain is, you still want to win. Jesus has already won. He is the victor. The battle's been fought, the battle's been won, and Jesus is the victor. on Sunday, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, their faith was strengthened, and they would never be the same again. On Friday, they were afraid of their own shadows. Hello? It's Jerry and Angela. I don't know why they're calling me right now. Yeah. I was thinking, I hope it was God calling. That's embarrassing. On Sunday, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, their faith was strengthened, and they would never be the same again. On Friday, they were afraid of their own shadows, but on Sunday, their faith made them strong and courageous. On Sunday, the light of the world dispelled the darkness that had covered the land since Friday, giving his disciples a renewed sense of hope and purpose. Well, what does that all mean to us today? That happened over 2,000 years ago. What could it possibly have to do with us? For us, it's still Friday. For some of us here this morning, because like the disciples, you've recently lost someone you love, and you're overcome with grief. I lost my mom. I lost my dad. I lost my sister Patty. She's the oldest. And I lost a nephew. It hurts. And it's not temporary. I still miss them. I still wish I could speak to my mother. She loved me, you know. She'd say, "Oh, son, you're such a good-looking boy." I believed her. My dad loved me, too. His was a tough love. Y'all know what tough love is? That was my dad. I knew he loved me when he was thumping me on the head and said, "What's wrong with you, boy?" But let me remind you what the Bible teaches us. The pain and separation you're going through today is not permanent. It's not permanent. The Bible tells us that we will be reunited with our loved ones who have gone on before us, and all of us who have put our faith and trust in Him will depend entirely and spend eternity with Him in heaven. In Revelation 21:3, the Apostle John put it this way. He said, "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them and they will be His people. God Himself shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain.' All these things are gone forever." You have a loved one that you dearly, dearly loved and dearly, dearly miss. If they are children of God, you'll see them again. As long as you are a child of God. That doesn't happen unless you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, who did all of these things, died for you, took the pain, took the sorrow for you. You say, "How could that be? He didn't even know me." The Bible said even before the foundation of the world, God knows us. He loves us. He cares about us. It's Friday for some of us because like the disciples, you're discouraged and are plagued with a sense of hopelessness. Everywhere you look, you see evidence that Satan and the forces of evil are wreaking havoc on the earth and even on the church. It's darker than it's ever been and seems to be getting darker every day. Prayer is not welcome in school. Bibles are not welcome in school. God is not welcome in school. And we wonder why there are so many shootings. Satan rules and Satan reigns. It's because of evil. And Satan is evil. He's not that little red guy in a suit with pointy ears and a long tail. The Bible says he was the most beautiful angel in heaven before he was kicked out because he wanted to be equal with God. And he goes about seeking as a roaring lion whom he may devour. Maybe you're in the throes of that right now. Maybe you're so discouraged because of what's going on the outside. Maybe the circumstances that are surrounding you look so bleak and so bad that you think there's no hope. That's Friday. But we know Sunday's coming. We know Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Amen? Amen. Amen. Sunday is coming. There will be a day in the not too distant future when Satan will get what's coming to him. I love movies that have a villain and a hero. How many like heroes? I think we all like heroes. Always like Superman, you know. Of course, I'm dating myself, but Superman would be go in a phone booth and he'd be Clark Kent, you know, and he'd come out Superman. He could leap tall buildings at a single bound. A racing locomotive, which probably in those days was about 30 miles an hour. He could bend steel. He was a hero. Jesus is our hero. He's our man of steel. He's our man that can outrun a locomotive and jump tall buildings at a single bound. He created all things. He knows all things and he knows you. He knows where you are. He knows what you're feeling at this very moment. And he loves you. And he wants to save you. And he wants you to be part of his family. Jesus said, "Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. And my burden's light." Before I got saved, I didn't have any peace in my heart. I was scared to death that the moon would turn to blood and Jesus would come and I'd be unprepared. Jesus loves you. He wants you to be victorious like he was, like he is. Like he ever will be. Jesus never lost a battle. In one of the passages of the scripture, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we should not worry or be anxious about anything. In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, But in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Bible says we ask not because we want not. We use prayer as a last resort when it ought to be the first line of defense. We forget that God really cares about us. We forget that God really knows us. We forget that God's already won through Jesus Christ the battle of sin and death and the grave. He's no longer there. I have a friend, his name is Nelson Henderson. He's pastor up in Pocahontas, Arkansas. Been there for over 30 years now, I think. And he's going to Jerusalem, going to the Holy Land, and he keeps sending back pictures. Boy, how neat that is to see where Jesus actually walked and where he talked. And I know one of our teachers at Hillsdale, his name is Randy Wilson, who's pastoring up in Tulsa. He said they went into the tomb of Jesus, and he said, you could feel the Spirit. You can feel the Spirit. Can you feel the Spirit of God today? Can you feel him talking to you? Can you feel him gently nudging you and saying, my child, I love you. If you're not one of his, today can be different. You could walk out of this building with Jesus Christ in your heart. There was a contemporary song written not too long ago. The first verse, of course, says, I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt it tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end, his word declares this truth, that we will enter into his rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and this promise that he brings. There will be a place with no more suffering. There be a day with no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. And we'll see Jesus face to face. I can't wait for that day. Oh, he loves you. And oh, how we need him. Sometimes we think we can handle problems on our own. Sometimes we try to solve those problems, and it doesn't work, because we haven't put it all in the hands of Jesus. What about you today? I know it's Friday. I know we still have problems. But if you're a child of God and you accept him as your personal Savior, no matter what you're going through, discouragement, problems, financial problems, marital problems, all kinds of problems, there's not a problem God can't handle. He cares about you. It's about you in your heart of how you see Jesus. Jesus asked Peter, who do men say that I am? I'm asking you today, who do you see? Who do you say that Jesus is to you? Is he your Savior? Are you relying fully and totally on him? Sometimes when we give our heart to the Lord, we only give Him part. We want to keep that little bit reserved for ourselves. He doesn't want half a house. He wants the whole house. He wants every room that's in there. Nothing reserved, but all His. It's Friday. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Let me say that again. Sunday is coming. Jesus is coming again, and He will not stop. And He will not come as a babe in a manger. He'll come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He'll take everybody with Him that love Him. Satan's going to get his one day. There's back to that hero again. I always liked it when the hero won and the villain got stomped. I love to see the day that Satan gets stomped. He's caused me so much trouble. But Jesus is our hope. He is our salvation. He's your salvation today.